because we were supposed to take it last year, and we could not take it because of the circumstances between the Auditor General and the UCD. And the Honorable Minister, you're welcome. Our first meeting of this calendar year, we know normally that we will always hold the
and the sauna has been a little bit delayed, so our meeting was also delayed. But we do not have crisis like we have not reached any target. We'll reach every target of our program. Now we don't have a lot of.
Can I just say, Chair, if it's the Defence Force and they haven't reached any targets, that's a huge concern. That's a huge concern.
We hope as they present, they'll show how they don't miss their targets. SecDef, welcome with your delegation. I think, and the Auditor General is here with us. Welcome, Auditor General. And I think you should go straight into our matter today. We know all of you. You know all of us. I don't see any new face here. And over to you, SecDef.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans. Briefly, just to apologize that our Minister wanted to join us, but as you know, they're having a cabinet meeting as we speak. The presentation has been distributed. I hope that all the members will have the presentation, but if not, there will be no problem because the slides will be running on the board. On the board, I will not be talking to each and every slide. I will not be reading the slide, but I will be highlighting the major areas of this annual report. I would say, in summary, you look at the annual report as a scorecard which talks to indicators. So we will say we have so many indicators, and during this financial year that we are presenting today, 2016-17, here was our target. I think as Honorable Marae was indicating, if the military missed the target, then there might be a disaster. Just to say that we will indicate where we have reached our target, not missed, but not achieved the target. In that regard, that will be made visible. And then, having done that, we'll also highlight the expenditures, how program, preferably program by program, amount spent for this financial year. And then after that, we look at accountability in terms of amount spent, performance, and targets reached, and accountability as audited by the Auditor General. I'm glad that my colleagues from the Auditor General are here with me. I told them that today I'll be speaking on their behalf. They are not allowed to speak. I'm just... they will be able to interact with us in terms of their findings during this financial year. I am now looking at slide number 5. I'll be calling slides by number, and then they will appear on the board. On slide number 5, we are highlighting that this annual report was prepared according to the PFMA applicable regulations and applicable strategic plans. And that on slide 6, we highlight the impact that the defense has had on the country and the region, and and that we also include details in which the DOT achieved the strategic objectives, as I have indicated. In slide number 7, we are informing the portfolio committee what the chairperson has already indicated, that we were not able to adhere to the PFMA in terms of the dates required for the submission of this annual report, and that this annual report is supposed to be submitted within 5 months of the end of the financial year to the executive authority. But just to summarize the delays, we should have submitted at least to Parliament by the 30th of September, and we only submitted by the 15th of November. And the delays were due to the delays in the issuance of the Auditor General's report, because based on the standards that they had indicated, they would like to audit the SDA, in other words, not as they used to audit the SDA before, with those exemptions from the MCS, that is modified cash standard. Now, this financial year that we're reporting, there was a consideration that the SDA must be audited according to the MCS, that is modified cash standard. By the time we got the National Treasury agreed that they will audit the SDA the same way that has been audited in the previous financial years, it was there was already a delay in that regard. On page number 9, we indicate the applicable legislation in terms of our defense mandate, and as this is also a mandate. On slide 10, we indicate that this mandate is really to provide, manage, prepare, and employ defense capabilities commensurate with the needs of South Africa as regulated by the Constitution, national legislation and parliamentary, and executive direction. This will be provided then through the proper management, provision, preparedness, and employment of defense capabilities that are in line with domestic and global needs, as we highlighted in slide number 10. In slide number 11, we continue that mandate, both in terms of ensuring the two components of the mandate, ensuring that South Africa is defended and protected, and that the Defence Force is operated and managed under the enhanced civil control of defense, as highlighted in the Defense Act. Now, these various targets that I've been talking about, they are all expressed as an expression of medium-term strategic framework. Now, the medium-term strategic framework is the national government strategic framework plan. It's got various outcomes. All governments are expected to have their performance indicators and targets as outlined in that MTSF. As I present this annual report, I will be describing these indicators as part of that MTSF, but also others are part of the annual performance plan of the Department of Defense. So to avoid repetition, if I've discussed an indicator as part of the medium-term strategic framework, I will not go into detail to repeat it again when I'm looking at the annual performance plan of the department. We highlight then that the major outcome as part of the MTSF is outcome number 3, all people in South Africa are and feel safe, as well as outcome number 11, creating a better South Africa and contributing to a better and a safer Africa in a better world. These two outcomes are the ones that our annual performance plan are aligned to. And in pursuance, then, as we highlight on slide number 12, of its legislative mandate in utilizing its inherent defense capabilities, the DoD, as during this year under review, we continue to provide support to the government's MTSF outcomes that we talked about, and the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans is currently the chairperson of the JCPS cluster, that is what usually called security cluster, but correctly called justice, crime prevention, and security cluster. As a department and ministry, we are also members of the international trade, international cooperation and trade cluster, what is properly called international cooperation, trade and security cluster, ICTS cluster, where these outcomes are properly captured. Slide number 13, we will then start looking at these outcomes that we have talked about. As I indicated, I will be going into details maybe as they are part of the medium-term strategic framework, so that when I come to the department annual performance plan, I don't have to go into detail. Now, sub-outcome number 3, states that South Africa's borders effectively defended, protected, secured, and well managed. What did the department do then in order to implement this sub-outcome number 3? The main performance indicator there is the development and implementation of the Border Management Authority. This, as we report to the, as we are reporting to the MTSF, the department participated in the development of the Border Management Authority Bill. Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee, this bill is currently in Parliament. I know that members are participating in looking at that bill. I will just inform the members that our major consideration as far as this bill is concerned are really two considerations. Is that yes, the bill talks about border guards, the bill talks about coastal guards, and so forth. And our main issue was, how is this, according to this Border Management Authority Bill, going to affect the work of the Defense Force as far as this border safeguarding is concerned, particularly safeguarding our borders, our coastal lines, with the role of the Joint Ops Operations Services, as well as the role of the Navy. We then took an approach, Honorable Chairperson, that as the Department of Defense, we are responsible for protection of the borderline, not for law enforcement. The border guards can come in and do the law enforcement. Now, this is the work that is currently done by the police. That is why when you look at that bill, when the members are looking at that bill, they will find that the police are still concerned about this overlap of board of law enforcement. So we will say that, fine, on our part, we are just in the border protection, coastal line protection. Now, when it comes to the airspace, we have a major debate there that I would like the members also to be applying their minds to when they are looking to the bill. When it comes to the airspace, we are saying, yes, we are in the airspace protection. But who is in the airspace law enforcement? Because when, if you have a plane violating our airspace, landing into a certain airstrip somewhere in South Africa, remote areas, or next to Namibia in the desert, or wherever it lands, whose role is it to enforce the law? Is it still the police, or it now becomes the defense force? We said, when it comes to the airspace, Defense Force is responsible both for protection and for law enforcement when it comes to the airspace. But when it comes to the border and coastal line, we're only responsible for protection and not for law enforcement. So that is how I would request that the members of portfolio committee look at the BMA. It's a big issue now. A number of committees when they're looking at the BMA, they want to send it back because certain issues have not been resolved. But if the members think law enforcement and protection, they'll be able to define our role properly within that BMA. So that is what usually engages us, keeps us busy when we talk about that that indicator of border management authority, border management bill being adopted, approved by Parliament, and Border Management Act now going into implementation. The next aspect, of course, is that one of deployment then of our subunits in the operation, or to call Operation Corona, for border safeguarding.
I wonder, Chair, I know normally presentation is finished, but just on that one point, I'm just afraid that I will lose the point in terms of the airspace, if you allow me. Because SIGDEF, just my question, I understand what you're saying, but typically to what the land border patrols will be doing, they will be, you know, for lack of a better word, catch these guys and pass them over to the SAPs. Is not that not the same principle with air patrol, that you will catch the guys, bring them down to the ground and hand them over? Or are you suggesting that the Defence Force must, once they're on the ground, proceed with the law enforcement? I just want to understand the difference there, whether it's the same principle as on the land borders, that you hand them over, or if it's in the air, that you proceed once you're on the ground. Just to, for me to get clarity and understand properly what you're saying.
I think that's a very important question. The issue here was that unlike when you're on the ground already in different aspects of it, this law enforcement is that there is an element to say yes, we have no, the members of the Defence Forces, as it were, have no mandate for arrest. Yes, as soon as we catch them, we must hand them over to the police. But in this environment of the airspace, that yes, we would bring them to the ground, but most of the time, by the time you, in terms of the law enforcement, is that when you are not able, it will still be the same applicability, in the sense that we will end up, we'll hand them over to the law. In other words, we're not going to prosecute in the military style and like military justice. We will still hand them over to the law enforcement processes. But our involvement here is going to be more than that, because, for instance, if we're in the airspace most of the time, and you would have more engagement towards enforcing the law, that please, here you are violating South African airspace, yeah, land, and if you don't land, we will shoot you out. Yeah. But I think I'm glad that question is very relevant. It's not should not be understood to say that we will be law enforcement in the airspace, that if you have violated the airspace, then we are going to arrest, prosecute, and sentence, because that's all the law enforcement process.
It's more the rules of engagement.
Yeah, it's more of a rules of engagement.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chair, that's very important, because, you know, and I think the other departments must understand, we're not trying to take over the role of SAPs. It's just the rules of engagement, and I think that must probably be, because similar to the way there's a rules of engagement in terms of the land border, there will be a different rules of engagement once you're in the air.
I think that's the most accurate way, Honourable Mare, to put it, to say, if you say that for airspace protection, you are also airspace law enforcement, it might be misunderstood. I think we have to refer to rules of engagement in our airspace protection being more involved than the rules of engagement in our border protection. Within the medium-term strategic framework, still in the same in outcome number three, all people in South Africa are and feel safe. We also have a performance indicator that talks to the secure cyberspace. Now, this is a performance indicator of the MTSF. It's also highlighted now. In as far as our annual performance plan for this financial year, we were committed, or the target was to develop a cyber warfare strategy. Now, as the number one, cyber warfare strategy, number two, sensor strategy, and as far as these two strategies are concerned, we have developed them, and they're in the process now of adoption, and that's what we are reporting when we report to the MTSF, and that's what we're reporting as we present our annual report as part of our own annual performance plan. In slide number 15, the performance indicator there that talks to the medium-term strategic framework is all people in South Africa are and feel safe. That is anti-crime, simply put, is an anti-crime performance indicator, fighting crime performance indicator that we in the department are also part of that performance indicator in terms of our corruption in the public and private sector being reduced. And we are highlighting that the performance indicator for MTSF is that we should combat fraud cases, especially those of more than 5 million rand. And during this period under review, this financial year under review, we did not have cases of more than 5 million rand of fraud and corruption that were reported. But otherwise, we did conduct, as required, anti-corruption and fraud prevention awareness roadshows, with the main focus being to attend to DOD corruption and fraud-related cases, and that awareness sessions contributed positively to assist members to report on fraudulent activities in our whistleblowing hotline. Certain cases of corruption that were identified were addressed in terms of investigation and board of inquiries, and some of them referred to the South African police for further prosecution. Outcome number 11 that we are discussing in slide 16 refers to creating a better South Africa and contributing to a better and safer Africa in a better world. And the sub-outcome there, number three, is that of ensuring a peaceful, secure, and stable Southern Africa region. So the question is, what were our performance plans? I mean, what were our targets? And did we reach them, as we're discussing them in the following slide, 16, 17, 18, and 19. If I discuss these indicators in detail here, when I come to the annual performance plan of of our own defense force, I will not go into details. Starting with ensuring a peaceful and secure, stable Southern Africa region, we are first looking at the defense attaches. We had our target to deploy 10 defense attaches in the region, and we have reached this target of having them deployed accordingly in our region. In terms of ordered commitments to SADC, as ordered by the Commander-in-Chief, we achieved 100% of all the orders ordered commitments in that regard. With regards to peacekeeping operations, we were ordered to participate in the UN peace support in the DRC, that is the United Nations MONUSCO operation, as highlighted in slide 17, as well as the anti-piracy operations in Mozambique, and both of these ordered commitments for a stable Southern Africa region were achieved. When it comes to slide 18, looking at Mission Thebe and Mission Team Kulisa in the DRC, on Mission Thebe, that is where we train the DRC armed forces. This was achieved in that training at Mura base in the DRC. And when it comes to developing the military strategy now for the armed forces of the DRC, this was referred to as Team Bulisa, and it was also achieved as part of training the armed forces and developing their own military strategy, assisting them as it were in the development of their armed forces. Now, slide number 19 talks to various military, joint military exercises that we embarked upon as part of to ensure a peaceful and secure and stable Southern Africa region. Exercise Wayside was the exercise to enhance chemical, biological, and radiological defense capabilities. This exercise was conducted as led by the South African Military Health Services. Exercise Ndlovu, which was at Luhaka, was also a joint military exercise with SADC countries that took place. And although not necessarily with Southern African countries, Exercise Good Hope was really a binational exercise in which the South African Navy participated at the Baltic Sea in Germany in February during the commemoration of the sinking of the SS Mend. So those were the performance indicators that were aligned with the medium-term strategic framework. When they show up again, I will not be going into details during this presentation. Now, the next section of our presentation, Honorable Chairperson, speaks to various key policy developments as we introduced it in slide number 20. The major key policy development was that one of Defense Review 2015. We have presented that defense review. Members are very much familiar with it, and what we are highlighting during this financial year under review on slide number 21 is that we are focusing on the first milestone of that defense review. That is the plan to arrest the decline. Here we developed an implementation team was established, and implementation plan was developed and approved by the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans in the beginning of this financial year that is under review. We had presented various options. I think we have presented about three options, but the easy way of thinking about this option is that if you're going to arrest this decline, you can either arrest it within 3 years, within six, or you can arrest it, you can have your plan spread over 6 years or your plan over planned over 9 years. So one medium term or two medium terms or over three medium terms. The balance that we needed to reach here is that, first of all, if you want to arrest within the first 3 years, it will cost us a lot of money and you might not be able to do that while you are building capacity. But if you do it over 9 years again, while it will cost you, the reason if you're doing it over 9 years it will cost you more money is because you would have declined further in your capabilities, therefore requiring more cost. So we went for the middle road, for the balance of saying option number two is what we should all maybe adopt to try and arrest the decline in terms of within in a period of 6 years. That's what we opted for. But in terms of implementation, then we started implementing during this financial year. So this financial year, that we are reporting should be the first year of implementation of our 2015 defense review. If there were any limitations in our implementation, it was mainly due to the limited resources that have been made available to the Department of Defense, to a point where, as planners, we then divided those performance indicators that can be achieved within the defense review without additional funding, and put aside those that required additional funding, and start engaging how can we access additional funding for the implementation of defense review. And that was during this financial year, and even for the following, for the subsequent years, these are the issues that we'll be dealing with. What is it that we can do within the available funding? What is it that we can do to get additional funding? This is where we're engaging with the portfolio, with the members of parliament and the portfolio committee. When the portfolio committee looks at the budget, I'm sure that the chairperson said at the opening of the meeting, you will have to then look at the budget for this year based on the annual report that we presented for the past year. These are the issues that we would say maybe the members of the portfolio committee will be looking into. We are engaged with the National Treasury on these matters. The next aspect of our presentation of the annual report deals with the, still continue dealing with the organizational environment. We are looking also in slide number 22, trying to draw to the attention of the portfolio committee the major issues that we're dealing with in our organizational environment, being that one of maritime security. This major activity was around the transfer of the dockyard, and we know in keeping with the defense review to set up capabilities of maritime capabilities within a state-owned entity, DENEL, and this it was decided that AMSCO will participate, will engage in transferring the dockyard operationally. The ownership of the dockyard will remain with the Navy, but the operation of the dockyard will be managed together with DENEL, and this process is still in progress. Over this period, the Navy also conducted protected patrols in the Mozambican Channel, utilizing the frigate and as well as the offshore patrol vessels and the Drakensberg respectively. And also one of the major within the maritime security development there, as we have indicated, was the SS Amatola frigate, which went to the English Channel to commemorate the SS Mendi centenary. And on its way there, it also on its way back, it did participate in bilateral exercises with Germany, as we have indicated earlier on. Also within our organizational environment, slide 23 talks to our border safeguarding, and that we have already discussed. I don't see much to add in our discussions. And then on also within the organizational environment, we're looking at 24, when we talk of collateral benefits, for me, collateral benefits simply is supposed to look at the activities and some of the key focus areas of the South African National Defense Force, which is that one of assisting during the disasters and elsewhere in the continent. During this year under review, units of the South African National Defense Force participated in various rescue missions, including aircraft accidents and fire disasters, mostly within the national borders of South Africa. The cyber warfare and sensor capabilities are the other major activities in our environment that I had already referred to. Honorable Chairperson, the next section of the presentation of our annual report will now be dealing with financial performance information. This financial performance information, I think, is captured in our in details in our annual report. I will be just highlighting the major highlights of our challenge, of our achievements and challenges within this financial performance. The current budget that is allocated to the Department of Defense for the year under review is deemed to be inadequate to enable the execution of the DoD constitutional mandate, and this has had adverse implications on the following. Number one, sustainment of declining defense capabilities. This, I think we have mentioned, we are now repeating it for matter of emphasis. It is a major concern when we look at the financial performance of the Department of Defense during the year under review. But it also had implications for supporting and executing ordered commitments, both internally as well as externally. And major impact also on our human resource rejuvenation. Maybe I should just mention the challenges that we are facing under human resource rejuvenation. We do have a strategy that needs to be approved by National Treasury and Department of Public Service and Administration for the rejuvenation of the South African National Defense Force. The delays in approving this rejuvenation strategy is related to the funds that needs to be made available for the rejuvenation of the Defense Force. We had indicated that you do have a certain component of the Defense Force that is not deployable because of its age. And it is important that component is actually reduced by redeploying it into other departments or into other sectors of our economy. This we might consider severance packages that might have to be paid for them to leave the Defense Force and look for living opportunities in other areas. This might mean transferring them to departments such as Correctional Service, Home Affairs, and so forth. But all of this cannot be done just by the Department of Defense. There has to be collaboration with other departments. That makes it difficult to think, to start getting the rejuvenation strategy approved. But overall, the directive we have is that within 3 years, we must cut down the staff complement of the Department of Defense by 16,000 employees. And that is not just affecting the, I mean, 16,000 is what impact it has on the, over 3 years, on the Department of Defense. But we know that overall, the because of the limited growth in our economy and limited collection of revenues by the national government is cutting its wage bill as over this period of MTSF by 20 billion rand. But I'm told now that it might be more because of other priorities that have come out, including the free higher education requirement. All we are saying is that it is a national government imperative to cut the wage bill by so much, and for us it has affected us that we are required to cut the wage bill by 16,000, and because we are unable to do so because of other contingencies and dependence on participation by other departments, as I indicated, particularly National Treasury and the Department of Public Service and Administration, we are unable to reduce our staff complement and rejuvenate the South African National Defense Force as required. This has a major implications in our budget vote as such, because it means that we are going to be found to have unauthorized expenditures in the program of cost of employees. Still looking at that defense budget vote, in slide number 27, we are just highlighting that members, for this financial year under review, the budget vote was 1% of our gross domestic product. It's interesting that we have been moving from 1.5% for the financial year 14-15 to 1.2% for the financial year 15-16, and now we're at 1.0% for the financial year that is under reporting for 16-17. So I don't know, I'm not an economist, but I had thought that if you are saying the economy is not growing, the percentage at least that you allocate to the defense would remain at least constant, to say, well, even if we don't have, we have only collected so much, at least the defense, we will have so much allocated to the defense. If at one stage it was 1.5%, we will at least try to keep it at 1.5%. But unfortunately, we keep on dropping it. Now we've dropped it for 1% for the year under review, and for the following year, the one that I'm supposed to be, the one that ends next month or tomorrow or whatever, is now down today. Now we are down at 0% of, I mean, not 0 point, not 0%, but 0.8% of our GDP. So I don't know whether that reflects the priorities of our government of the day, or maybe it's another indication in terms of the direction we want to take the Department of Defense to. Going now to the expenditure for this year that we're reporting, this annual report that we're reporting, I would like the members to, of course, you look at slide number 28 in terms of the appropriation, comparing to other to year by year, and you look at slide 29 when you're looking at the per program, for instance, so much for force employment, so much for administration, so that will be so much for air defense and maritime, as slide number 29. But I would just talk to slide number 30, still within the expenditure for this financial performance, because this slide shows you program by program. We will start at the bottom and say the appropriation for this financial year was 47.2 billion. The actual expenditure during the year under financial was 47.19 billion. In other words, the expenditure for this financial year was 99.9%, which means that there was 39 million that was returned to National Treasury. While you try to have zero balance by the end of the financial year, is practically not possible, because by the time the clock hits midnight, 31st of March, you should have tried to have some money to keep on paying for the other programs that are still running and the bills are still coming through, so that you don't end up having invoices and bills coming through and the cost that you are not able to pay for that year. And when you look at the program by program, you will see then that happens especially in the environment of forced employment, where you wanted to spend 100% but you ended up at 99.6%. And also on the maritime defense, and these are the, when you have deployed the troops, if the troops are still out there in the Indian Ocean on your maritime security, and when you have forced still employed either on borderlines or in the peacekeeping operations, you still have to have some money maintained, so that when the cost comes in for you to pay those costs, you will have some money to pay. So that will explain why you end up with 99.9% expenditures
whereas other programs are able to, at least for this financial year under reporting, spend 100% on their budget. I think this is explained in slide number 31, where you say the under expenditure was mainly within the peace and support operation due to operational requirements regarding aircraft chartering by the UN being less than what was anticipated, as well as the maritime defense program, mainly as a result of austerity measures implemented in order to remain within the ceiling amount set by the National Treasury.
Okay. I must just warn you that you have 15 minutes to wrap up.
Thank you very much. I will then do the rest in 15 minutes. That is on our... Thank you very much, Chairperson. So the rest on the will then be explained within the financial performance. On the non-financial performance, when you look starting there in slide number 36, I will only deal with the areas that I feel I have not touched. 36 we have talked to. Slide number 37, these are military skills development, where you have the target that was not reached because of financial constraints. Slide number 38 is the number of reserve force person days, where you have the target that was not achieved because of human resource budget that was reduced. In other words, we were not able to call up the number of reserve forces as we wanted to because of the HR budget constraint. And then I think we've talked to forced employment in the SADC region, and slide number 39, and then the internal and the external operations are highlighted in slide number 40 and 41. And in the internal, if we've talked about the internal one, I'll just mention that Operation Prosper, slide number 41, is a support to the South African Police Services. Chariot are the disaster and relief humanitarian assistance, and Arabella is search and rescue, and Corona is border safeguarding. All of these are the performance indicators for our internal operations, which were all achieved. The joint exercises are now highlighted in detail in slide number 42 for the members to look into. And the deployment on our borders, we remember we said that to ensure that our borders are adequately defended, we require 22 companies, but we know that we don't have resources to deploy 22. That's why our borders will continue to remain porous because of limited resources. We have only deployed 15, and the achievements of the deployment in terms of illegal foreign arrest made and contraband goods are highlighted, I think, at the bottom of slide number 43. The only point to make again is that as I'm presenting this morning, we are considering whether we will be able to maintain even the 15 that we have. Unfortunately, I think the minister insisted that let's keep this as our priority, whatever happens, even if as the times goes on, we might have to bring down the numbers of deployed companies due to budget reductions, as we expected this financial year coming 18-19 to cut our budget by 3 billion rand. The number of, when you look at slide number 44, you are looking at air defense, whether were we able to reach the hours that we wanted to fly, which we did not reach. Slide number 45, number of hours at sea that were not reached due to limited resources. And slide number 46 talks to, and 47 must be read together, 46 and 47, that we did not achieve 100% of those performance indicators. In financial year, previous financial year, it was 66% achieved. This year under reporting is it dropped from 66% to 65%. But again, slide number 47 explains that even if the target was not achieved, it does not mean that it was nothing was done regarding the target. Because 47, for instance, will tell you that even if the target was 99% or 90%, it cannot be recorded as having achieved, because you have to have 100% achievement before you record it as achieved. The Auditor General's report is highlighted in the next pages from from slide 48 to slide 53. Just to highlight the basis for the qualified opinion of the Auditor General, this was the, I think, 1 year where the Auditor General qualified our audit, because the previous 2 years we had unqualified audit, and the reason for qualification was that when it comes to the movable capital assets, for the first time we had the inventory that has to be audited to be as part of our asset registry, and we also had the other assets that were in our database but not in OASIS or Logis, that is in the C-Log database. And the Auditor General is saying, while you have all of the assets that have not been uploaded to your OASIS or CalMIS, that is the C-Log database, we will cite you as having an incomplete database because you were not able to upload these databases that you have into the OASIS and the CalMIS of the C-Log. Also, the Auditor General for the first time was qualifying us on the work in progress. Now, the work in progress simply means that according to the modified cash standards, when we have spent, if for instance the members can imagine, as a part of defense, we don't buy our assets from the shelf and put them into the DoD. If you are going to buy the infantry combat vehicle and you want to make sure that the infantry combat vehicle have your communication systems that you're going to need, and that it has the deterrent systems that you're going to need, for instance, to deter missiles and rocket launchers that are being launched against you, you first have to develop it over a period of time, which takes more than a year to develop, before you can then get that asset into your asset book. And the Auditor General says, if you have already spent $2 billion on this, I want to see it in your asset register, whether that is still being developed by the industry or not. I want modified cash standards says, show it, bring it to annual financial statement as the work in progress, and let's see it in your register. Since I can't see it in your register, I'm qualifying you. The same applies to the immovable capital assets. That yes, you have spent so much money renovating your facilities and your bases, and you should show us as updated and transfer that to the Department of Public Works, and it must be recorded as your assets in your asset for register. And because I don't see it as a work in progress in your asset register, I'm qualifying you. As far as intangible capital assets, it was mostly around the softwares, that they look at the list of all our softwares that are distributed all over the country, whether it's Microsoft or weapon systems softwares or project management softwares, that some of them had already expired. That that register, when the Auditor General did a sampling of it, felt that it was not complete, but we have since completed it. By the time we submitted a completed list, it was too late for the Auditor General to audit it, and he then qualified it. They gave us on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This is a case that we have reported, which was of a 2011-2012 case, whereby the department had to cancel a contract with an international company in Austria, because of the unaffordability of that company. And when it was cancelled, we needed to take action against the accounting officer who signed off on a contract that was not properly budgeted for. But when action was being taken by the minister, it was indicated that only the president can take action against the accounting officer, and that that matter was then referred to the presidency, which was still developing guidelines for action to be taken against accounting officers. I think those guidelines are still work in progress. The next basis for qualification was irregular expenditure of 419 million. This was a contract for fuel contract. It's not to say that this 419 million is not accounted for. It is fully accounted for, but it is registered as irregular because there was a transversal agreement, contract that was issued by National Treasury. We had serious challenges with that supply of fuel contract because the suppliers were not delivering the fuel to the members of the Defence Force, to a point whereby certain vessels had to be grounded in Saldanha and other areas because fuel was not delivered. And also soldiers had to patrol borders on foot because fuel was not delivered. And we informed the National Treasury that when it expires in 2014, we were not going to be part of the transversal agreement that the National Treasury was renewing. And the National Treasury went ahead and insisted that we participate. By that time, we had already instituted our procurement for fuels with companies that would be able to maintain and control through the PFMA. And the argument here is between National Treasury and the Department of Defense, and the auditors are saying, unless National Treasury agrees that you should procure on your own, we are citing you. All your money that you are spending on this contract, which the contract is still running, if I'm not mistaken, until the end of this or next financial year, and whatever you spend over the next period over this contract of 3 years will be recorded as irregular expenditure. That's where we come to that amount of 400 million. When it comes to the performance, I think the Auditor General said there were no material findings in terms of usefulness or reliability and that we found as far as performance, both in the post-employment, landward defense, as well as audit defense. Now, Auditor General also talked to the Special Defense Account, where they said that they will qualify this opinion on the Special Defense Account due to the sensitivity of the environment. I think any other reasonable countries, when there's such a situation, they just report that we have limited scope due to sensitivity of the environment. But the Auditor General says no, they're not going to just say report it, they will qualify it. So I think I'm not an economist, but my colleagues are right here in front of me. I still argue with them that just report that you have limited scope and not qualify it, because there's nothing to qualify. They say no, we report limited scope and qualify this limited scope. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sir Jeff. Honorable members, over to you. We'll use this remaining 30 minutes to interrogate them. And I'm not saying that you must take the whole 30 minutes for yourself, Honorable Murray.
No, I will certainly, because my colleague has got two pages of questions. I haven't got that much questions. Chairperson, thank you very much. I want to start off with the last item that you've ended, and that's the special defense account. Because that was part of the problems that we have experienced and what the Auditor General has reported to us in the past as well. And I must be honest with you, SecDef, I agree with the Auditor General, because even we cannot verify that. And you must remember what happened last year with the medium-term budget. 1 billion rand was moved out of special defense account. For what?
How does it affect the defense? How does it affect our capabilities to acquire assets and equipment? We don't know. So there might be other things moved as well. We don't know. And that affects the defense capability of South Africa very, very much. Those who think that that is not essential is living in a fool's paradigm. Unless we get to a point that even we can get oversight over that, I fully support the Auditor General in that. How can you have something that is so kept apart that only a the night team of the day team of the bigger team, only a handful will know what is going on there, and nobody has control over that. So that's a major problem with that. So somewhere along the line, you will have to decide whether you trust us, even in a secure environment where it's only us that you take into your confidence. But so far, not us, neither the Auditor General has got that privilege. So I support them fully, and I've got a major concern of what is happening in that special defense account, especially if it's now been used to fund HR expenses. That is a major concern. There's another thing that we've picked up and that I haven't seen anywhere. Lately in newspapers, there was an article last weekend of 73 million rand that was spent on luxury cars, 1.6 million rand each, at the end of the previous financial year, because there was apparently money left over, not unspent. Now, I mean, that's something that should add to wasteful and irregular expenditure. If we pick up things like that, it tells you that there's even more problems inside in terms of more micromanagement. Because remember, an audit is not a forensic audit. At the moment that you pick up things like that, it tells you that there's even bigger problems. I would very much like to know something that you have never, irrespective of requests in the past, you have indicated to us based on the flying hours and only 340 something hours on VIP, and it's because of unavailability of aircraft. So we know the state of our aircraft. How much money was spent on chartered aircraft, and how much hours were flown on chartered aircraft? Because we know what is happening is that especially with our VIP flight, the maintenance contract with Executive Jet has been cancelled. Initially it was the NEL that was supposed to look after the aircraft. We know the state of the NEL. So who's looking after that now? My information is that those VIP aircraft is grounded since August, September last year, because money not available for maintenance and for the major maintenance on inquiry. If that is the case, those micro things that we pick up, it shows that there are major problems. My concern is that although there's been money provided for an exit mechanism, 133.255 million rand, if I'm correct, we don't see how that mechanism is being put into a plan. You have mentioned the concerns of the involvement of National Treasury and the Department of Public Service and Administration. It seems like you are dependent on them, but we don't see, at least we don't have, a plan from your side to say, this is our exit mechanism plan over the medium term, and this is how we want to spend that 133 billion rand per year over the next 3 to 5 years to implement this exit mechanism. You correctly identified and emphasized the problems with that. So somewhere along the line, we must see that it seems like there's not a political will in government, there's not a will in defense force, and there's most certainly not confidence from National Treasury that you are serious about meeting those challenges. And that's why they are reluctant, it seems like, to provide the money to keep at 1.5% or even 1.2% of GDP. I sympathize with the fact that we do not have enough money, and that we are now on a 6-year period for the milestones. It means that we must have a future scenario planning of over 50 years. In 50 years, the world will look totally different. And if we do not know how it will look like, how can we even embark on a defense review of 6 years per defense review, and we know that we are not close to where milestone one was supposed to end? So how realistic is this? Is this really good money, you know, throwing behind after a bad course? And is that the best way that we can spend our money? Eventually, how sad it is, we will have to see from defense, Department of Defense, a serious empathy to say that, you know, we must accept this whether we like it or not. And I remember in the past, it was said to us, the only way that we can get this spending close to defense review of 40% for human resources is by getting more money. Forget about that, you will not get more money. There are no more money. So you have to do something else. And that we do not see. It's a huge concern that we've got this qualified audit opinion. And you know, if we don't admit that and try to deal with it, you're not going to get out of that. And I mean, we will have to see how you will get to that 40-30-30 of the defense review. Otherwise, the defense review must be changed. You cannot see in the one moment that we use that for your planning, but on the other hand, we know that there's not money for that. So you know, it's a catch-22 situation. You have to change something. There's so much stuff, sir, but for the moment I'm going to pass on, but hopefully before the half an hour I will have another bite, because there is more questions. I will meet the other members as well.
No, you're welcome. And Honorable Dambuza.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think, let me first welcome the report by the Rapporteur, but a couple of questions for you. Let me start with the defense review. Oh, Chair, I just wanted to check if is it possible for the department to provide us with the draft, just to see at the strategy that they do have, because seemingly, and I don't understand what are the challenges for them not to finalize this first milestone. So if you can be provided with such challenges and then be given the time frame, at least, because seemingly there was a professional company that was appointed to deal with this matter. So I would like them to provide us with that information. And then the second point is on the issue, the last issue. Yeah, as much as I would agree with, partly agree with Honorable Mare, partly agree, because for me, we do have an act that speaks to the defense special account. So I think we need to look at the act. What does the act say? And then we also look at the audit system that we have. Because if the audit system iyaphikisana ne act, seemingly there is a problem there. It's a big, big problem, Chair. So engafuna ukuthi sibe sichaye daily daily. We need to first look at those issues. And then we come up with the proposals or recommendations on what could be done. because it is not going to help with the DOD, the audit, the auditor general. They fight amongst themselves. There must be a solution that will come from this parliament, looking at both, which means these two committees have to look at the act, at the law. These two portfolio committees. It's high time so that we release them. We pressure these two, our departments. Now, but I still need to say there's also an issue of the political head. It is very crucial that they need to sit even by the time we are still busy, because as parliament we do have a right, which is the legislation, if it is possible. Because we know they can take years and years and ages, and then it will continue with auditor general, neither qualified audit. And secondly, I would prefer if we, as the portfolio committee now, as parliament, we need to undertake a study tour. I've mentioned the legislation, I mentioned now the best practice, how defense is being audited in other countries, both developed and the African countries. Very soon, Chairperson, there was a study tour near Kenya. This is very critical because in the impact, we state the financial resources in our country. So I would like us to do that with a strong recommendation check so that we check what are the best practices in other countries. So that when we develop that part of legislation, we know what is happening. Then the other issue is around the non-cooperation. I don't know what I call it. It's just I have recorded it like that. But let me just put it in a way that is at least humble. This transgression, transversal agreement between the National Treasury and the DOD. Even this one, it needs an urgent attention. I would request the minister intervention to speak to another minister, Minister of Finance, to address this matter. But as the portfolio committee, when we are considering this report, we will maybe come with other recommendations, Chairperson. But for now, I strongly feel that there needs to be a political intervention between the two ministers on this matter, because we cannot allow our soldiers to patrol on foot. That is a disgrace, disgraceful. So I think that needs urgent attention. Then I still feel that the AG has been unfair. Has been very much unfair to the DOD in terms of the guidelines that are still developed by the public service administration. Because it's beyond, for me, it's beyond the department's power, this one. So I don't know, maybe I might be misunderstood it, but I think it's very much unfair. Then the last or the other issue I would speak to, the department can also assist us on this. How have they resolved the issue of the MCF when they were finalizing their engagement with the Auditor General. And then the issue of intangible assets. I would like the department to assist us as the committee. What were the challenges they had? Because they were aware of the audit period that was going to come. And then now they provided incomplete information to some extent. So what were the challenges, and then what future plans have they have to ensure that this does not happen again? Then the last one, Chair. Slide 39. I think there is a contradiction. I think they must correct this information, because here they are saying is it 39? What the one that reads to the expenditure where the money has to be kept? I think it's this one. Yeah, this is page one, not 39. Page one, where you are saying under expenditure was mainly with the peace support operations environment, and then it was due to operational requirements regarding aircraft chartering by UN and so on and so on. And then the last one, it was mainly as a result of austerity measures. But in your presentation, you said it was because you need to have some money reserved for maintaining of to honor other expenditures that would be necessary to paid immediately after the first, maybe in the first week of the month, which is April. So I think you need to ensure that this information is aligned to what you are presenting. Lastly, the issue of the BME, that bill is very, very important. Now I want to check the bill is in the ENCOP now, and according to my understanding, the challenge is from the National Treasury. It's not the problem between the DOD and the rest of the other departments. So I want just a clarity to say, is there any dispute on the bill itself between the DOD and the other departments whilst the bill is in the SOP now? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable G.J. Skosana, you're welcome. I haven't seen you coming in. Now, the department must know that we have two Skosanas now.
Yeah.
G.J.
They
and
G.J.
No,
yeah.
He's back
from
Columbia. Oh, I didn't know. He didn't say goodbye. Okay, no. So you'll have a double burden now. Over to you, eh?
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. It means you are behind the syllabus. You see, members are advanced. That's on a lighter note. Maybe they wanted to have only one Skosana in the committee. That's why they had to redeploy another Skosana so that we remain with only one Skosana. No, greetings to honorable members and our officials. Yeah, well, just one question. I just wanted to find out from the department as to what really went wrong in this financial year under review as compared to the previous financial years, as you indicated that in the other two previous financial years, I think the department received an unqualified audit opinion from the AG, but in this financial year under review, the department received a qualification. And if you look at think page 50, where it speaks about fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The AG is saying that fruitless and wasteful expenditure to an amount of 303 million rand was incorrectly reported or understated, which is note 26.1, and says the completeness of fruitless and wasteful expenditure into the DOD register of investigation could not be confirmed. And when we come to the irregular expenditure, it says that an irregular expenditure of an amount of 419 million was not disclosed. Why was it not disclosed? It was not disclosed in the disclosure note as required by Section 40 of the PMFMA. And it says the DOD register of investigation was not provided for audit, and completeness of irregular expenditure does not be confirmed. Means also the completeness of this irregular expenditure could not be confirmed by the AG. So I just want to check as to basically, I mean, in terms of your analysis at the department, what went wrong? Why did you regress from unqualified to qualified? I know the AG is giving reasons why he's qualifying you, but in terms of your analysis, what is it that made these issues that led you to regress from unqualified to qualified? Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable G.J. Skosana. Honorable Isao, we have 10 minutes and the department still have to respond.
Oh, okay. Good day. Honorable Chair, I'd just like to raise a few issues quickly. Time is a bit tight for us. One is that we have a dashboard that we'd like all these matters to be again put, and of course to track the progress made. Now, the problem is that our dashboard has become so heavy because the department has not responded to the issues that need to be dealt with. And the issues are increasing on the dashboard, it's not being removed from the dashboard. So that is not very good impression or reflection on the department at all. And we can list, if you take the 2015-16 dashboard, we go to the 16-17 dashboard that we drafted now. If we go back and we look in track, and I think I'm going to leave that to the department to respond to look at each and every item. There were requests made, 30-day, 60-day, 90-day, different periods, time frames were given, and it actually was not dealt with. The other one is on the exit mechanism, 133 million has been spent on people to exit the system. We'd like to know exactly what is the format it took. How was it actually done with particular individuals? Because the MEMS remains one of our serious challenges. There's of course no clear indication of how 1,000 or 16,000 people supposed to leave this department. How are we going to now remove them and also rejuvenate the force? I can only see that the MSDS students are actually becoming less and less. And even though they employ 1,400 some of, then 700 and others are again dismissed. So in reality, we are not rejuvenating. So there's a serious challenge, and what is the average age now for the actual soldier within the armed forces? What is the actual age? And also for the reserves. And so I don't see any progress being made and not a commitment or political will to actually proceed with it. In fact, it has come to our attention that even people when they reach the age of 60, they do not retire. Their contracts are actually extended. And people that are even much older, how long are we saying this is a top-heavy organization with too many generals? We've said that so many times. We're not giving our young people the opportunity to grow within the force and to be dynamic, active soldiers. Our people at that age can only become part of static security. They cannot go to war. And I think we have to be realistic. Unless we're going to make changes, we are having an old force that will not be able to deal with any real situation on the ground. The other one I want to raise is the issue of the MEMS have raised already, the 16,000 have raised. The performance indicators, I see it's 94, but when I add it up here, it says 95, and the performance at 65. The reality is, Honorable Chair, 65 is less than two-thirds. That's less than two-thirds, which is not a good performance. And I think it's being repeated. Last year it was slightly more. It has become worse now, regress slightly. So those things need to be monitored, and people responsible to execute must be held reliable. I mean liable, and there must be some consequence management. We also have an issue of the cases that reported, which is a very good indicator. Nobody has stolen money over 5 million, but they've stolen money under 5 million. 178 cases, of which the performance there of prosecution is pathetic, like the NPA's performance is pathetic. So how strong are our legal system, legal team within the Defence Force? And that is also being seriously questioned. The capacity has also decreased. What is the issue of our liabilities and contingencies that we have to look at of cases against the department? I haven't had any report on those issues, which is normally a problem for any institution if you do not consider your liabilities and contingencies, and it can have a huge impact on your budget. The issue of the dockyard, I think we're not happy at all. In fact, the sea hours that's reported that people could not actually achieve that, one of the reasons, main reasons, is maintenance of the actual vessels. So we're asking the question, when is this tripartite agreement going to be established? When will they actually perform and actually do the maintenance as it should be done? And when will the Durban Naval Dockyard also open up, the other base that we spoke about on Marion Island? When is that actually going to come into effect? Because most of piracy that is being monitored is being done in the Mozambican Channel, which is the closest one, Durban. So they have to come all the way to Cape Town to have a service or maintenance done. So I think those real issues need to be looked at, logistics, so that it become practical and we can deal with issues very quickly. There's a number of strategies outstanding. There's a number of policies outstanding. We didn't get a report on everyone. What is the exact status of it? Whether it's 50%, 30%, 80%, and some are now being for consideration by the authority for approval. Can we have also an update on all the strategies outstanding, all the policies outstanding, besides only the cyber warfare strategy, which we have an update, and that is for the JCPS. The other one is the trends also on these cases of corruption. I think we'd like to know exactly what is happening in that area to delve down. What is exactly the cases? What are the trends? What are they stealing? How are they stealing? Because even the procurement policy is not even done. That is supposed to be reviewed and amended, and that has not been completed, and that's where you normally get money being stolen and contracts being fraud, whatever they do in that area, and mostly officials getting involved in the allocations as well. So we'd like to know all the less than 5 million, 178 cases. That adds up to a huge amount. So it's not the big guys that are stealing billions. Maybe they are not of officials, they are other people. The other one, of course, we have the defense review. I see now the first 6 years are going to be introduced. Of course, the drip is really dripping. It's really dripping. It's not taking effect. We're not seeing that implementation taking effect, because one of the first things to be done in Milestone 1 is the reduction of personnel. And we find that we are 57% being spent on personnel, more than what is required. The budget has been skewed and money's been taken off goods and services and actually pushed into personnel at the expense of capability. So we are creating a problem for ourselves. We have a nice, huge personnel armed force that we have there, but we have a very demodernized army that doesn't have the capacity or capability or readiness or to be able to deal with those situations. So it is a worry for me that we have those issues of personnel that is still continuing. I don't see it over the MTF being reduced, except that the 16,000 must go. And then there will be some change from the 78,000 minus 16,000, which brings us down to then, that will be then 16. 12 minus 78 will be 766,000. Okay, so we have to look at those figures, and therefore the issue of the funding model, which is also a requirement that this department had to report to us on the funding model. How exactly are we going to fund this defense? How are we going to sustain this defense? How are we still going to be a capable force? And I don't see, in fact, Arms Corps was responsible. The sweating, I don't think they're sweating anymore. All those issues of the endowment and the properties and all the development that we looked at, they are not sweating at all. So I want us to find out, if Arms Corps is not going to come up with a model, who is going to come up with a model? Of course, the sales have increased. We're very happy about that, of the arms and those things. But that is not enough to sustain the defense force. The other one I'd like to raise, of course, is the issue of the border safety. I think what I'm listening to, Honorable Chair, is that SecDef is indicating that 15 units may even be reduced. At this moment, the borders are already porous. People are creating highways to drive through, cars through our borders. Illegal foreign nationals are coming into our country. They are on the streets without even papers. We are creating a problem for ourselves. And if we say that going into the future there's a possibility we reduce 15 units, which is already not enough and not effective enough, what are we going to create? A worse problem. And what is the thing about the BMA? How does the BMA function if the DOD reduces its borderline forces? How effective can the BMA be? They're not going to do the borderline. They're going to be only at the ports of entry. Even the Coastal Guard is going to be with fisheries and others, but they expect DOD to be in there. The money must be invested in there. So there's a very big concern if I hear those comments coming through from the department of possible reduction of the companies on our borders. Then I am getting more and more worried, because we have a problem within South Africa already. And that problem will only become worse. I thought we want to increase it so that we can minimize the problems. Honorable Chair, I'm not going to raise all the other issues. I've asked the department to report to it. The issue of the defense attaches, I see the target is set at 46 and only 44 has been done. So the underachievement. Do we really need all these military attaches out there? Do we really need it? The most important one where South Africa plays a role, a peace mission, and they've been very effective, is on the African continent. They're not required to go international, only continental. And 10 or so in the SADC region. Do we really need all those other military attaches? And if so, what is the value they actually bring for us? Because that is also a classified item. We don't know exactly what expenditure goes into military attaches and what benefit they really bring to us. And by the way, Honorable Chair, the number of classified targets are increasing. I don't think there's a need for intelligence department. They can be part of the DOD. We've become so classified. And we don't even have a report from the intelligence unit that they actually, that DOD is reporting on those classified issues to them. I don't want to know the details of it. I only ask my colleague that is serving on there, do you actually interrogate and discuss the classified issues? He said no. So if we are misled here that we are not being informed, but other committees taking responsibility, they are as well not informed, although they are vetted. They don't know. So I think in all fairness, from the AG's office, from our committee, from the intelligence committee, we need some reporting and some accounting to happen. We cannot have covert operations when we have a responsibility to it. Covert is for certain purposes. We have special forces. We've got all those things in place. But don't let us make it a whole covert operation when it comes to the DOD and we have to account and we've got a serious financial constraint. Money is going and we don't know where and how money is being used. Only afterwards you hear about it. So I think there is a concern from everybody about our accounts and how we deal with those accounts. And going ahead, I believe only 2018-19 there may be a real review, but otherwise those two accounts of the SD and GDA will be reported separately to the DOD's account. that is going ahead for the last year and for this coming year that we have now to report on 2017-18. So those things are still a concern that we have. Honourable Chair, I think we are stuck for time.
You have a deficit, I'll tell you what
I have
do.
A deficit of time.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we should do. All the remaining questions, submit them to the Secretary so that we may factor them in the BRRR as recommendations and, when we adopt that report, because we still have to talk to that report. If it's it's fine with you. Thank you very
much. If you allow me, somewhere along the line, we must ask the SECDEF to report to us on a couple of things. And I think, you know, the things that we've identified, there should be a report from you to say, from our perspective, this is how we see it can be done realistically. For instance, the implementation of the defense review, rebuilding of defense capabilities. We've heard all these things, and it's a major, major concern of us. But we cannot just build that into the BRRR. We need a report back from you guys to say, you know, taking all this into account, from our perspective, this is how we can see we can rebuild aircraft capability. We know what is happening at 28 and 35 squadrons. We know exactly what is happening at 20 squadrons. So we cannot have a blind eye to that. We need the reports from you guys to say, this is how we see we can do it, and this is the challenges. Our involvement in peacekeeping missions, I believe it's very important, but it's only my perspective. But whether it's achievable, whether it's realistic, it's a total different story. And somewhere along the line, we must try to get, for BRRR coming up, and for the next financial year's planning, we need to know, this is what we believe we can, because I mean, we are repeating these things that we have said last year and the previous year. And then you come to a point, you say, so why are we doing this? I mean, this is becoming a talk shop, and we have to come up with plans to say, this is how we believe it can be done. And we're not getting to that point. And somewhere along the line, we must spend, Chairperson, we will have to spend really critical time on this and say, this is a national issue. It's a national imperative. This is not a political thing to play politics with. This is really of national concern and national interest.
Thank you very much. Maybe because we do not have a deadline for the adoption of the BRRR, what would the suggestions be? Do we suggest that we say to the SECDEF, go and prepare that report, we go over that report and factor it in the BRRR?
Chairperson, I think that's a very good suggestion. Because remember the one point that the SECDEF has reported on, and that's the dockyard. You will remember when Arms Corps appeared before the committee, they indicated to us the financial problems that the NAL has got, and that they are not prepared to release any of their securities back to the NAL. So there's a major concern, and although the contract has been awarded, and you say it's ongoing, my perspective, it's not ongoing, because the NAL is the problem. And somewhere along the line, we will have to deal with that. You know, has something changed? Then Arms Corps must come and tell us, sorry, the problem with the NAL has been sorted out. As it currently stands, there's been a tender awarded, but nothing is happening, because that three parties is not really getting together. And we will have to know about that and try to assist and deal with that. But not on a yearly quick report, and then we go back home and everybody is happy in it, because it doesn't affect us.
Okay. I'll reckon some of the matters raised, you'll have them in that report, SECDEF, but as of now, there are questions that will need, or matters that will need an agent response from yourselves. Can you do that, SECDEF?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee. I thought that I must just clarify one thing before maybe it gets wrongly reported. We don't. There is no intention to reduce the number of companies deployed for border safeguarding. There is no such a plan, no such intention. I think what I was trying to say is that the challenges that we're facing, when you look at, I think this would summarize some of the things, but again, I'll try and propose a way forward. If you look at those four major areas of operation for the Department of Defense, that is number one, water safeguarding, number two, peacekeeping operation, number three, maritime security, number four, support to the people, that is disaster management, and support to the police. It means that when this coming financial year, which is now 18-19, we have been asked to cut our operations by 3 billion rand. 3 billion. And there it's on the table. We have done our annual performance plan for 2018-2019, and after we have presented, it has sent back to us and say cut it by 3 billion rand and bring it back again. So that's why I'm saying that if we were to cut by three, these are the four areas that you're going to be looking at. Where are you going to? What is it? Where are you going to cut? So the minister said you must comply. If they say you must cut by 3 billion, I want to see the cut of 3 billion. And now we are in that dilemma. I think that's what I was saying, not to say the decision is to choose this, to choose that. But if you were in my position, I think you would agree, honorable member, that you would be looking at all of these areas and ask yourself, where are you going to cut 3 billion rand? And then I was going to say that in our program of the committee, again, I'll be guided by the chair, there are certain quarterly reports that needed to be presented, like third and fourth quarter. But this was for the previous. So maybe you might like to combine and see how you want to take that time, because all the time I think we have a challenge of time to all of us. Then you say you're going to come with a 2018-2019 APP, Annual Performance Plan, and maybe you might say, when you come and present the Annual Performance Plan, circulate it, which will be circulated, you should be receiving it in your mail boxes this week, next week, I don't know how long it takes once we have tabled it. And you would say, now then, in your annual performance plan, can you then focus on your strategy and your plans in terms of what are you going to do?
Practical.
What are you going to do with, first of all, the Auditor General's findings coming 18-19? And then we put our plan just around adverse findings from the auditor. Because auditor, year to year, we're presenting now, going future, what are we doing with this problem that Auditor General has identified, as honorable member has indicated, honorable member Sukosan. And then you say, now with this arrest of the decline, with this strategy for the funding model of the defense review, so that when we look at annual performance, then we look at the areas that, what is it that we think is going to take us forward, rather than to go again performance indicator by performance indicator and list all of those and try to discuss all those indicators that we have for the next financial year. And then for the dashboard, with the secretary, at least if you can maybe make sure that this dashboard that I think Honorable Esawas talked about, if they can be made available. But since we don't have time to respond, it means that we will have to go and write like a report as a response to all the issues that have been raised. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then can we take that approach, Honorable Members? Are we comfortable? Honorable Gambu?
No, Chair, I think I am comfortable, but I think we still need to get the third quarter report. I think most of the issues that have been raised here, they are going to be responded on third quarter report. Third one, October, November, December.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Look,
what is happening, we may have to, indeed we may have to have a joint meeting with the Treasury in terms of realignment of legislation. The special defense account is not a South African phenomenon. It's all over the world in the defense of the world. Now, the other thing that we may have to do, indeed, Honorable Dabuza, is for us to do a study tour, benchmark with other countries. There are Scandinavian countries, Sweden and others, and see how they treat this matter. So that we would be able to decide as a committee as to what is best for our national interest. I think that is what we should do. And I must just update members that we were supposed to go to Vietnam. We did not go to Vietnam. It is not because of ourselves here. The National Assembly of Vietnam asked us to postpone the trip because they are celebrating their Tet function, celebration Tet, like their New Year's Day or something like that. Now, we are supposed to, we would take a date for March, but we had to reprioritize because there was an outstanding trip of DRC. So we thought, now let us just go to the DRC from the 25 to the 29 of March and see our, go and boost the morale of our forces. That is how, that is the situation about our study tours now. Thank you.
Chairperson, can I just say on the Vietnam tour, I mean, I find it astonishing that 3-4 days before our trip, I mean, on the Wednesday, the flights was confirmed. In the afternoon, I mean, surely they knew about the New Year's festivals for months and months and years ahead. They don't, I mean, I find it totally unacceptable by Durco and the embassy on the other side not knowing about that from November when our people were starting to communicate with them. That is totally unacceptable. And I mean, we need to know who's responsible for that. Is it the embassy or is it Durco? I mean, it's so unprofessional, it's a slap in our face. I mean, they're certainly not taking us seriously. That's for sure. And I find that absolutely, totally unacceptable, and we need to get some response and explanation of that. Surely, if our embassy doesn't know what is the national days in the other country where they are, they should come back home. You should send other people.
For sure. We'll raise our displeasure with Derko. I think we should do that. They haven't been treated very well. Indeed, they have been communicating with our secretariat, and sometimes they disappear. That time they come back, for a time you shall see me, for a time you shall not see me. That is what they've been doing. So I will definitely raise it with them. Honorable Dabula.
Chair, my question is now, which is about Parliament. Because now, this money for this trip, who are we trying? So what would be the position? Because I think it is budgeted for. It's for us now as the portfolio committee to plan for this coming April, so that it must not be deducted by Parliament because this is an annual funding. So that we plan for April. Fine, if we go for March and then we don't come back for another week, we go to that Vietnam, it's fine, you can travel for 2 weeks, it's fine.
No, yes, it's fine.
That's
it's fine.
The
House Chairperson has been notified about that. What is happening is that it can be rolled over. We will not use it in this term because in 2 weeks' time, the financial year is coming to an end. So the
the next study group period will be in July. So, yeah. So, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. I don't know.